Ken is going to share a few thoughts with us today. I always love to hear him. He always picks up something from the Word of God that's very encouraging. So I'm going to invite Ken.
Praise God. Just pick up on something Andrew mentioned at the start. You know, sometimes somebody says something in a meeting and it's gone in a second, but somebody catches hold of it. I caught hold of it because it just confirmed what I'm sharing this afternoon. And it's about the consistency of Christ. You know, we know that things change in the natural, but Jesus Christ never changes. It says, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And sometimes we can forget that because we get so wrapped up in things. We're thinking we're sort of living in an information society. And there's that much junk comes through the door now, yes. Junk mail, yeah. That you wonder sometimes where they get your name from. It comes from all sorts of sources. If you've got a landline telephone, chances are you get quite a few calls, people trying to sell you something that you didn't know you needed. And we get to the point sometimes that as soon as we get a certain type of voice coming on, we say, no, thank you, bye. We don't go into the arguments about it. But what we've got is information coming at us from all different directions. And we have to sift out what is sensible and what is rubbish.
Yes.
And it can take a lot of doing, because some things we do need to assimilate and take in.
Yeah.
But we've got to recognise what's junk, yeah. And what we need to dump. Because,
yeah.
If we're not careful, we can get caught up. And some of the things that are quite extreme coming at us, and if they come out often enough, we can sometimes sort of get sucked in,
yeah.
Before we've realised it. But if you go back to this Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever, there's a consistency about Christ that doesn't exist in the world. Now, if you've been around a few years, like some of us, we find that things change over time. What wasn't acceptable once upon a time is now acceptable. What was wrong once upon a time is now okay. That my God says, I'm the same yesterday, today and forever. So, in my understanding, this, it was wrong then but it's okay now, isn't what God's saying. God's saying, I'm the same. He says, my standards are the same. My loving kindness is the same. I don't change. I don't vary my standards. I'm always the same. I always love the same. I always care the same. My laws are always the same. And the difference between the laws that come from him is that he puts them inside us. He's given us a conscience, he's given us a heart to sense right and wrong. He's given us that understanding. The trouble is now, and we get it quite a lot on television, if you watch television shows, particularly the ones that have violence in them, and then if they have more things than not have some violence in it, the violence is shown more graphically. Injuries and things like that are shown graphically now. They have the technology and that to make the visual display more realistic. So we can see things that are pretend, but they almost look real. And we're drawn into that we We sort of accept it as being okay. We wouldn't have done a few years ago. Even the things that come on the news media, the television in particular, about the despair that's in different parts of the world. We see it and often we detach from it. I don't know if you've ever felt this. If it's displayed a few times, then quite often you'll get adverts that repeat over a period. And you begin to be unfazed by it. You don't really know it, that it's happening, because it's there, it's projected to you, and then it goes away, and it's like it's as if it's not real. But of course it is. But then we go on with our own reality, whatever our own reality is. We just continue with that. But Jesus doesn't want us to be indifferent, and he doesn't want us to follow the world's route. We can have a double standard. We can have, if you like, a religious standard and another standard when we're in the world, in our day-to-day lives. But God says we can't be double-minded, because if we're double-minded in our thinking, we become unstable. That's what he says. We've got to have a consistency. So we've got to know how to get the consistency that God has got. Now, of course, there's only one source to get that consistency, and that's him. We have to go to him. He's given us his word. And within that is the character of who he is, his nature. And his nature is the same. His nature never changes. So we need that anchor to keep us stable. We can get lost in the confusion of what's happening in the world. The world is changing rapidly at the moment. We have a level of violence now that's so beyond our own understanding that we can't take it in. It's almost as if it doesn't seem real. We just cannot understand the mentality and the emotion or the things that are behind it. Because it's darkness that's behind it. You know, the devil is trying to raise up hatred in the world. Because the devil thrives on hatred. So if he can fix hatred into individuals, into groups or even nations, he's on a roll. But we have to stand in the consistency of Christ. We can't let God's standards slip. We're at the battlefront in that, because we're the ones that claim that we're in touch with God. We're the ones that claim that we have that relationship with him. So if we have that relationship with him, we have to draw into that consistency that he shows. See, when he says that he loves us, it's not a soppy love. It's a love of strength. That agape love that it says. It's what will do the best for the one that's loved. Which it goes beyond giving them what they want or anything like that. It's really producing in someone's life that which is needed by that individual. That really is love, because you know that children want all the time. And if you gave everything they wanted, first of all they'd be sick. But then also they would lose the way. And nothing will have any importance because they get everything. There's nothing they want. Life is boring, as they say. But we need to keep our perception clear as to what God's standards are. In the natural, we've got different ways of measuring things in life. You know, if you go back to the old system, like the navigations, when the ships were crossing the sea and they'd use a compass and they'd use a sextant and they'd find the way that way. There's various things that we have today that we used to measure. And we either use these things to measure or we take information from people that use these sorts of measurements. The thing is that, like about the weather. Now today it's a beautiful day. It's warm, you know it's warm. Now while we were sunning ourselves in Kos, over here, it was on the weather thing that certain parts of this country was going to reach 37 degrees centigrade. So we thought, that'd be hot. Probably a bit muggy, but hot. I think we were, low 30s or something, or around about 30, that sort of thing. Very nice, nice and comfortable. But it was an information. It was a measure. Yeah. It's a measure of temperature, measure of heat, measure of comfort. I remember once going golfing. I like to go golfing on a Saturday morning. And particularly in the winter, they laugh at me because I'm overdressed. I'll go golfing with me, cagoule on and everything on underneath, and so tight you can hardly swing a club. But this one particular day, the sun was shining, and I went, and didn't really take much. And where we were golf, it's like on a hillside, and the wind was raw and coming out of the hillside, and I was freezing. They couldn't golf for laughing at me because I didn't take the equipment. I'd looked at the weather, I'd seen the sunshine, but I'd not looked at the temperature or the strength of the wind. If you had they call them the anemometer. We learnt that at school. An anemometer measures the wind speeds. These little cups that spin round, if you ever see them on a weather station, they're called an anemometer. And they measure wind speed. But we also have clocks that measure time. Now, don't tell me you don't use a measurement of a clock. Because if you turn up late to work and say, oh, I never looked at the clock, they'll say, on your way, mate. But we do use measures in the natural. We use the law. The law is a good measure. It helps us to decide what's right and wrong in terms of what's acceptable and what's not. The trouble is the law of the land. It only dictates right and wrong according to the government of the land. It's not God's right and wrong. It's the government of the land, what is acceptable and what isn't. But thing is, all these sorts of measurements, we learn how to use them or we learn to refer to somebody that does know how to interpret them. But all these measures are things that we use as a guide. And if we ignore them, we ignore them to our peril. If you ignore a compass when you're travelling, you can end up in the wrong place. Jesus said something particular if you turn to Luke chapter 12 and verse 54. I mean, we often sort of just pass over these things as being something and nothing of comments. But they are important, these things, particularly what things that Jesus said. And he's talking about the sign of the times, really, but Luke chapter 12, verse 54. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, when you see a cloud arising in the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming. And so it turns out, they must have had westerlies. Our weather comes from the west. And if you see a muggy cloud, or a dirty cloud, Yorkshireism is mucky cloud. So the shower is coming, and so it turns out. It says, when you see a south wind blowing, you'll say it will be a hot day. Yes, we get that as well, don't we? If it comes up from the south, we're going to get a hotter day. The reason it's been cold quite a bit of the time is it's tended to come down from the north. But it says if you get it from the south, it'll be a hot day, and it turns out that way. Perhaps Jesus has been to Yorkshire. Perhaps he knows. It says, you hypocrites, this is, you know how to analyse the appearance of the earth and the sky. Why do you not analyse the present time? How often are we sucked in to the present time's laws and rules and regulations, and we forget God's rules and regulations? See, God's laws are not rules and regulations in the sense you will do, you won't do sort of thing. Because God puts them in our heart, we seek to do the right thing. The laws of the land, you seek to not get caught, which is a different attitude altogether. God puts them, says, on the tablets of our heart. That's where God puts them. It says, and why do you not, even on your own initiative, judge what is right? If on our own initiative we judge what is right, how do we get our initiative? We've got to go to Him. We've got to bathe in His word, bathe in His presence, bathe in His nature, and we catch hold of what He's saying.
Yeah. Amen.
He's always speaking to us in some way for our good. Amen. He doesn't want us to go the world's way. He wants us to go His way, which is not a bad way, because it will maintain a standard of morality and behaviour and honesty and truth in your life that the world will not give you. And that does not mean we're at odds with the world, because we'll fulfil the laws that the world are putting forward, but with the heart of God.
Amen.
Jesus didn't seek to break the law. When they challenged Him about giving taxes, says, give me a coin. Whose inscription is there? Whose picture is it on? Caesar's. Well, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. He wasn't out to break the law. He was out to fulfill the law. But the fulfillment of the law was going to come by getting the heart of God's nature. If each individual had the heart of God, there'd been a whole laws broken. The Christians, the true believer, the true servant of Christ, is the best patriarch a country can have. They will work hard, they will be honest, they will give, they will love. They will deny themselves to fulfill the needs of others. So there's a lot to be had from having God's character within a country. The trouble is that these days nations are abandoning God's character and taking on a worldly character, and that is where their laws are coming from, the worldly character. It says in Matthew chapter 11 verse 29, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. He says, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest from your souls. There's two things there. He's telling us to learn from Him. Get our learning from Him. And He's telling us His nature. Gentle and humble in heart. This is God. This is our Creator. with all the power that he has, and he's telling us he's gentle and humble in heart. This is what he is to you and me. We wouldn't be alive now if it wasn't for the fact that God is gentle and loving. That's his nature to us, to each one of us. How many chances has he given us? You in your life, me in mine. How many chances? You know, we've done something stupid. We've got the wrong attitude. And then we've come out the other side, and God says, "Come on, come on, pick yourself up. Let's get moving forward." And God's been there, brushing us down, helping us along, help us to get re-established. That is a gentle and humble spirit that does that. You know, when you do that with someone, and you pick them up, you encourage them, and you see them moving forward, what a joy that is, to see them recovering from something. So we need to absorb into the very centre of who we are, God's compass. God's laws, God's barometer. All the things that we can draw from him that are going to help us make the right choices, have the right attitudes, walk the right way. So that that's God, tells us direction. It's not the world's going to not tell us direction. God's going to tell us his direction, the condition, the timing, everything is going to come from him, because he's got the measuring instruments. But we need to draw them. We need to draw them into our lives. But you see, we can hear the voice of God, but we still have this free choice. God never takes that free choice from us. We can choose to ignore him. And I know there's times when each one of us will ignore God to our cost. Now, if you turn to Romans chapter 7, which is quite a difficult chapter, but it's one that Paul tries to pen the argument between the two natures, the battle between the two natures. It starts off in Romans chapter 7, verse 14. It says, "But we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin." So you've got the spirit and the flesh, the two natures battling it out. And in verse 21 it says, "I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good." So he's wanting to do good, but there's something pulling him the other way. There's another law at work that's trying to drag him the other way. But it's the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus that's going to pull him through. It says in verse 25, it says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind, I'm serving the law of God, but on the other with the flesh, the law of sin." So he's trying to explain the struggle of the two natures, the struggle of the things that's trying to pull him two different ways. But the more we bathe in the nature of God, the more we're going to get hold of his nature in our hearts and in our minds. Because it's understanding what is right that takes us to the decision point with the capacity to make the right decision. The choice is still ours then whether we make the right decision. But God is taking us to. It says in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is a living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides the two natures. It divides what we feel, what we think. It gets hold of the root in us of what decisions and where they're coming from. David found a consequence in making the wrong decision. If you look back in the story of David, think it back in Samuel, in was it 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 10. David sinned, he committed adultery, he caused the husband of the person to be killed, so he in effect murdered him. He really went to the extreme. And this is somebody who knew God. Yeah, he wasn't an atheist at that time, he knew God. He listened to the I want instead of the I should. He listened to the wrong things. And it says it led to, in Samuel chapter 2, verse 12, verse 10. Chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me." David had to bear the consequence of what he'd done. The fact he was forgiven did not vanish the consequences. There was a child from that liaison, and that child died. That came from that, from David listening to the wrong voices and making the wrong decisions and doing the wrong thing. But if you go back into Romans again, in chapter 12, it tells us, it gives us a, if you like, a promise. Chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And don't be conformed to this world." Don't be conformed to it. "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." How are you going to renew your mind? You're going to take on the nature of our Saviour. You've got to take on his nature right inside. So it's the conscience, it's the decision-making route, it's everything that emanates from you is going to come from the nature of Christ. That is the renewing your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. You've got to prove it because you've got it inside you, and it's got to come out. It's got to come out in what you do, in the things that you do, in how you relate to people, in how you relate to situations and circumstances, how you conduct yourself. You prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The perfect citizen for the country. Amen. To do that which is good and acceptable and perfect. He got it all wrapped up in there. But we've got to get hold of God. We've got to get hold of him for ourselves. If you want to make whatever decisions you want to make, the only way to make the right decision is have Jesus as the source of that decision. That's how we do it. And we don't always get it right. Because you think there might be just a straight line down, that there can be no sort of muddling. But it's not as simple as that. We know we're complicated creatures sometimes. And we seek to do the right thing. And for whatever reason, we don't always get it right. God knows that. And God understands that we work in progress. But he's bringing us to himself. Inasmuch as we will come to him. We've got to come to him. And we've got to learn from him. We've got to understand him in our own hearts. So that when we do get the decisions, we sense what is right, what is the right thing to do. We sense what's needed. We hear the voice of God. It might not be an audible voice, but we sense that was right. And even though that we might sometimes not get things right, it's not that we haven't had the right intentions. It's perhaps we just haven't caught hold of his voice, as we said, for whatever reason. But God's got our case. He's on our case. And he wants us to have life and have it in its fullness. The wonderful thing about God's law is that it's so written into us and so a part of us that it isn't a problem fulfilling the natural laws of the land. Because the nature of God is to fulfill the law. That's really all I've got to share this afternoon. It wasn't a long message, but it's the importance of us drawing in to him so that we can give out within our lives in the right way. I just want us to pray as I finish now. And it is a prayer that I wrote down, not just coming off the top of my head. And I want us really just to listen and to share this prayer as I pray it. So let's just bow and we'll just talk to the Lord. Lord, help us to absorb you into the very centre of who we are. To know your voice in all that we say and do. To obey that inner voice and conscience that comes from you. So that we will follow you in all things and stand firm in your light. So that the Spirit will overcome the flesh. And your will shall be done. Lord, teach us, lead us, and cause us to stand in you. When the world says that things are okay to do, help us to stand firm in your word. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness, which works continually for our good. Lord, write your law in our heart, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Ken, for that word. It's, I think God's been saying that to us. He gave me that. Some of that a couple of weeks ago. God is saying that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need to think what God thinks. We need to know what God is saying. And David said, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." That's what we need to do, have his word right in our hearts and we'll not go wrong. Praise God. Thank you, Ken, for that.